I'm going to revisit something that I feel the Lord has put on my heart that I think is timely, it's relevant to where we're at and where I think we're the church is at. And how many know that God is working throughout the nations? Amen. That God has got a plan. He's going to accomplish it with or without you or me. And I want to be part of that. Amen. I don't want to be overlooked because I wasn't available when he called. Amen. The Lord's eyes, they roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for those whose hearts are really loyal to him. Amen. So the Lord is looking for those who will partner with him in his mission. And all of us have been called to the work of building the kingdom. Amen. We're building the kingdom. We're not building structures and buildings. We meet in buildings, but we are building people. Amen. Because we make up the body of Christ. We make up the building of God. And so as a member of his body, I have a responsibility, just like your hand has a responsibility. Amen. And just like your eye has a responsibility, your ears, every part of you has a specific responsibility. Amen. And when you're missing part of your body, something is definitely missing. You can tell. Amen. If you've ever broke a bone or been laid up for any amount of time, you realize how valuable that part of your body was when you don't have it. Amen. And so some people think, well, I'm only the hand, or I'm a finger, or I'm a fingernail, whatever. Hopefully there's no fingernails, but I'll be a fingernail for Jesus. All right. Yeah. But I just wanted you to know that you are valuable because God loves you. Because Jesus shed his blood for you. Jesus redeems us with purpose. He didn't redeem us just so we can sit soak and sour. Amen. But he redeemed us with purpose. And when you're functioning within your divine purpose, your heart will be alive. You will be full of joy. You will be nourished there. You'll be strengthened there. In the place where God calls you, you'll find your strength in that place. So the key is to be where God calls you to be and to do what he calls you to do. As someone once said, discover what God is doing and do that. Just don't go about doing something and asking God to bless it, but find out what God's doing because it's already blessed. So when we're partnering with God, it's in the place of blessing, amen, where we abide. So if we're not careful, we can allow the opportunity that we have to slip us by. If we're not paying attention, we can miss out on the will of God for our lives. The enemy is a master distractor, and he's trying to distract God's people from fulfilling their purpose by preoccupying us with lesser things and getting our priorities out of order. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above everything else, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God's business before your own. God knows you have need of things. God knows that you have business to do. God knows that you have to provide, amen, for your families. But put God's kingdom first above everything else. And all these things he said that you need, I'm going to take care of. I want to talk about Haggai, the prophet, minor prophet Haggai, a little bit today. And they were, the people of his day were, they were preoccupied with their own business. And while the temple had lie in ruins for like 16 years, and people had kind of gotten distracted, they lost focus, they lost purpose, a sense of purpose, and they all kind of went off to their farm or to their business or whatever they were doing. They were focused on their yard more than the things of God. It was about how beautiful my house appears to my neighbor John, you know, than the things of God. It was more important for the people then to be comfortable and to have temporary gratification than it was to give themselves for the work of God in any way. Sacrifice. Oh, sacrifice is a dirty word, you know. Nobody wants to sacrifice. We just want to kind of cruise along in Easeville. How many know that the mission of God for your life requires a sacrifice on your part? And what is that sacrifice? Well, it's your life for His. Romans 12 says, let us what? Give back to God our bodies. Amen? As a reasonable service. Based upon all that He has done for us in our redemption, in the cross, the price He paid for us to purchase us, to bring us to Himself, amen, to reinstate us as sons and daughters, no longer slaves to sin, set free, amen, from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, brought into sonship, amen, and sons and daughters, and He's given us a mission, He's given us a purpose in life, and He doesn't want us being distracted by lesser things because the enemy is a master distractor. He wants to get you and I preoccupied with things that amount to zero in eternity. God knows that we have to have responsibility, and we need to be responsible people. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. If you're going to go to work for somebody, be the best employee, amen, because you're representing the Lord, and you're actually supposed to be working as unto God and not unto man. So whatever you do, amen, you do your best job because you're representing God in that situation. And so in everything that we're doing, we're supposed to be considering, how does my life reflect? And how am I reflecting Jesus in this? And am I bringing glory to God, or am I bringing shame or reproach upon the Lord by the way I'm living? You know, we can wear Christian hats and Christian t-shirts and walk around, and you know, we can be walking around like we've been sucking lemons or with a bad attitude, or, you know, or being a cheapskate when we eat at the restaurant with a tip or whatever, or give the waitress a hard time. I've gone to lunch with some Christians, no Christians here, but I've been to lunch with Christians before where I was almost embarrassed to be sitting with them because the people knew that were serving our table that we were Christians. And that the attitude and the way they treated the waitress was so bad. And it's not about me personally or us. It's about the honor of our God. It's about the honor of Jesus. Amen. That we're representing Him. And so the people of Haggai's day, they got preoccupied. They are putting their personal business ahead of God's business. And guys, I tell you, it is a struggle sometimes because we're in a war. And the enemy, amen, is not always about just doing bad things, but it's a lot of times he's using good things, amen, to deceive us and to distract us and to get us preoccupied and off mission. And yes, we can all have an emotional moment where we say, oh God, whatever you want me to do, I'm here, I'm your man, I'm your woman. Amen. And then 5 hours later, half an hour later. Oh, yes, Lord, we'll do whatever you want us to do. And a lot of times it's just get me out of this, Lord, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Of course, none of you have ever done that before. Not like me, but yeah. But everything they did, the people in Haggai's day, seemed to be in vain. They were going about their business as usual. They were very busy in life. And I know sometimes we can't avoid being busy. Sometimes life just throws you a curveball and you're busy. You know, but we need to keep Jesus at the center of everything we're doing. Because we can very easily get wore down. Amen? The flame can get dim. Amen? And all of a sudden, the lesser things are becoming stronger in our lives and more attractive to us again. Amen. Where at one time it was the things of God and it was to know Jesus that was our aim, our goal. We were so excited, amen, to get together with Jesus and have time in prayer with the Lord and be in His Word. And what are we going to discover? What is God going to reveal? What's going to happen today? Lord, what are we doing today together? Amen. And I can't wait for the church doors to open, man, because I know that God has something good. Hallelujah. Not only for me, but God has chosen me to be good for somebody else too. Amen. And I can come and I can be a blessing to somebody else. Hallelujah. It's not all about self-service here. Amen. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And give His life. Because He found His life in that. He found His life in the purpose for which He was called. Amen? in which he came. So Haggai chapter 1 verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. One of these days, we're going to get back to work here. This thing's been lying in ruins for years. Yeah, I know things are kind of dwindling. Things are kind of getting a little bit, well, I don't know, maybe lukewarm. But right now, I've just got so many other things to do that I really don't have that much time to give to the things of God. And so therefore, I think I'm just going to go over and spend time. You know, I really need to repanel the house. I need to put some new carpeting in. I need to, you know, oh, that's right. I got to wax my car again today. What else do I need to do? Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to watch the game because, oh my goodness, I can't miss that game. Yeah, I know the body's getting together. Somebody's going to get mad. I know the body's getting together today, but it's game day. And the Lord understands. Me and Jesus have a personal agreement, you know. Not like anybody else, but just me and Jesus. We got this understanding that, hey, you know, we don't want to be legalistic about any of this stuff. Those people are legalistic that think that you should be in church when the doors are open, you know. We're free as the wind blows. Yes, you are free. And you have full access, amen, to whatever you want, whatever you desire today. You can get on the internet and you can spend hours and hours entertaining yourself in vanity. Oh, I know how that can be. And we can miss out on the superior things, the better things, the eternal things. Because before you know it, you're looking back at the years and saying, what's happened? Where has the time gone? And what actually is going on with the house of God? What's actually going on with the body? How are things? You can get together and we can have a wonderful time together, but, you know, guys, think about it. Why am I really here? What I have to ask myself the question, why do I do what I do? Am I here to build my own kingdom? Am I here to make a name for myself? Are we here to make a name for Jesus and to build his kingdom? And you build his kingdom by building his people, by sacrificing your time and your efforts, amen, to help somebody else out. And not let it be all about what I get out of it. We have a consumer mentality. And we have almost an entitlement mentality. The socialism has crept in even to the church. And a lot of people don't even realize how duped they are into that thinking that I'm entitled. They owe me. They should give me. They should do for me. What's in it for me? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't live like that? Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to pay the price that we deserve to pay so we could go free? Aren't you willing that he didn't spare himself, but gave himself up freely for us? He paid the highest price for us. He deserves to have our all and our best. Our first belongs to God. He said, then the word of the Lord came, verse 3, by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, they weren't satisfied with the things that they occupied themselves with. Yet they were continually trying to satisfy themselves with the things that they did. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? There are people that are caught up in the entertainment and the pleasure pursuit of this world to the degree where they're constantly trying to fill a void that only God ultimately can fill. He can only satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. And these surface things the enemy presents to you as a distraction to keep you away from what God has for you, which is superior. Why? Because the enemy is a thief. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And do you know that Jesus walked in abundant life because he was life? Amen. And he abided in his Father's will. And because of that, he was satisfied. My meat, my bread, my satisfaction is to do the will of my Father and to complete that. Amen? That's where we're going to find your satisfaction. That's where you're going to find your joy. It's going to require you and I sacrificing, amen, what my flesh wants to do so that I may obey the Lord in His mission and find true joy, happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction in Christ and in Him. Hallelujah. That's why people get excited. And some people are, when the doors are open, they're there because we're going to be God's people. We're going to find out what's happening, what God has today. Hallelujah. Amen. When they get up on Monday morning, they're going to work. They're saying, oh God, what can we do together today? You know, who is my assignment today? Who can I talk to about you today? Are you hearing me, somebody? How can I honor you today with my labor and what I'm doing? Amen. How can I be an example to someone else? How can I be an encouragement to someone else? Who can I pray for today, Lord? Do you think all these things are selfless? It's about not focusing on me, but on others and what God wants. And I find that God takes care of the things that I need when I take care of the things that He wants. And if I decide not to obey Him, God will just look for somebody else. And I don't want to be replaced. He said, in verse 7, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. Now we know he's talking about an earthly temple made by hands. Amen? But what we see here is a type and a shadow of the building of the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the mission of God is that we would be laborers together with Christ for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen? By investing what God has given to us. Amen? To make sure that that work succeeds. Why? Because we are to be light in the darkness. We are to be influencers in our neighborhood. Amen? God has called this body right here to mission, amen, to make disciples and to reach the lost. How many know that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, has not changed? It still stands. That's what God is calling us to preach the gospel, to be an example, to let our light so shine before men that they may see, they visually see our works, our good works, and glorify the Father. God instructed them, he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood. He says, you've had your mind on earthly things. You've been preoccupied with just your things. I want you to change your perspective. I want you to lift up your eyes towards heaven. Amen. Towards my holy temple where he is. Amen. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord. And I will provide for you the materials, if you will, that you need. I will provide for you the grace that you need to be an effective builder in the house of God. Every one of us here is called to build. Noah was called with his family to build. Amen? Because there was a flood on its way. I'm sure everybody knows about the story. How many know that was a real story? And the evidence is all throughout the earth today of this great flood. God says the next time it's going to be by fire. It's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. And God is calling people, men, women, boys, and girls, to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. To get on board the ark and to commit themselves to the work, to the mission that he has in the allotted time that he's given to us, because soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon that door is going to close and only those who are on the ark are going to be saved. That's right. Once God rises up and says, time is up, the time of the Gentiles, He's turning to His ancient people Israel. Their eyes are opening up. They're realizing that Jesus is the Messiah. They're starting to call upon the Messiah. We're getting close. Someone say amen. Amen. And there's a certain number of those who are contrary to nature grafted into that vine. Amen. Hallelujah. And that vine is Christ. But it represents the nation of Israel too. God has given promises to His ancient people. And He's going to keep those promises. He's promised them a land. And Jesus Christ Himself is going to return in glory. Amen. He's going to set His feet upon the Mount of Olives. And He's going to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. And the nation shall be gathered before Him. And He shall separate the sheep from the goats. I don't want to be a goat. And I believe there are nations that are going to be goat nations. And sheep nations, that's another story for another day. But your provision, my provision, is not from the bank or from my employer, but it's from God. So whatever I need, I got to go to my Father about it. I got to pray about it. Amen? And what God does is He calls human beings, you and I, people, amen, to partner with Him in His mission. So if you've been given something, you've also been given a stewardship to be faithful with what He's entrusted to you. God had deposited His gifts in you, amen? The gifts of His Holy Spirit. What am I doing with my gift? Are you investing that? Are you looking for opportunity to build, to partner with Jesus and His people together, corporately, to build the house of God? Do you understand? If every one of us, I want you to think about something. If everybody here would say, Lord, give me a soul this year. Pray for one soul. Amen? Put somebody on my heart, Lord, that I can focus on, that I can talk to, that I can minister to. I'm just using this as an example. Amen? I hope we would say, Lord, give me many souls. But what if we all just went and each one reached one? We'd be doubled. Is it about numbers and nickels? No. But it is about the mission of God. Is this all about just a social club where we get together and we feel good for a few minutes and then we go home and forget all about it? Or is there something maybe greater going on here, amen, in the invisible realm, in the spirit world, hallelujah, amen? And God wants us to partner with Him, amen, and helping people, amen, out of the mess they're in and into freedom, into victory, hallelujah. Now listen, I can't help anybody if I'm personally unrepentant. If I'm not listening to God, if I'm rebellious, when God is speaking to me and I'm saying, no, God. Well, God doesn't have a user-friendly vehicle, does He? Or vessel. He doesn't have somebody that He can trust. He's waiting for you and I to say, God, I'm going to quit talking about it and I'm going to start doing something about it. I'm going to quit saying, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll commit to that. And then not follow up. I'm going to start doing what I said I would do before you. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We've all had those emotional times. It's kind of like the drunks on the bar. Hey, bro, I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you, man. We're going to be buddies for life. You know, the next morning, did I say all that? In the emotion of the moment, guys, listen, we got to get beyond living by our emotions and start living by truth, by principles. And I find that when I obey God's word, what he shows me to do, what He speaks to me about, when I obey His voice, then I find my life, my satisfaction, my joy, my strength, amen, in the purpose of God for which I've been called. The same thing is true for every one of us here. Amen. Your life will be stagnant. It'll be dry. It'll be dusty. It'll be fruitless if you're not willing to say yes to God and no to you. Guys, listen. Each one of us, including me, are going to give an account to God someday of the things that we did in our body, whether they were good or bad, whether we had obeyed God in the mission and the call of God. I want to hear Jesus say to me in that day, well done. You've been faithful. Even if you've been faithful in little, I'll make you ruler of much. But the faithful in little he's talking about is those who had a little. At least they were faithful with the little they had. It's not that they had much and they only did a little. It's not that they had little, but they were faithful with little. It's not how much, it's what we do with what we have. Are we willing to give it back to God? Are we willing to commit ourselves truly to the mission of God? You know what? God wants His church to be alive, to be on fire for Him, to be effective, to be world changers. Amen? And we can't do that if we're just full of us and our ideas and we're fully distracted by the temporal things of this life and we're not understanding that these things that we see are temporal. Yes. Amen? But the things that are unseen are eternal. Yes. Yes. And we have a little taste today as we worship and we feel the presence of God and how He touches us and how He blesses us and He refreshes us. Do you know why God blesses us? Because we're so spiritual. He blesses us to make us spiritual so we can be effective. Amen? That's why Paul the Apostle said, I did not receive the grace of God in vain, but I labored. Yeah. Yeah. Even more, he said, than y'all. Paul was an example, man, of a... He was a... That was a true Christian there. About there. He's amazing. I think about Paul. I read his letters and I read about his life. I'm like, wow. I want to be like him when I grow up too, you know? He was so much like Jesus. But our provision, guys, is not from this world. But everything we have need of is from God. Isn't it true that many times we build our lives around ourselves without realizing it? Let me ask you a question. Are we really interested in the things of God the way we should be? Here's another one. Is building the kingdom of God a priority in my life? Is it really a priority to build the kingdom? Am I really concerned about the things of God? I hope so. I don't want to be preoccupied by building my own personal kingdom while God's kingdom, amen, is neglected. If we don't pray, we don't have power. If we don't have power, we don't have influence. If we don't have influence, nothing's going to change. And as a matter of fact, the enemy is just lulling people to sleep and he picks them off one by one. Yeah. Just picks them off. They fade into black. It didn't happen overnight. They just kind of fade. And then they get to a certain place. It's like you're calling, you're reaching out. It's like dead air, no response. What happened? Well, I was doing so good a couple weeks ago. We're going to take on the world together. Because sometimes what happens is we get proud of how good we're doing. And we're no longer relying upon the mercy and grace of God to help us every day. And realizing that I can't do it without His strength. I really can't do anything without Him. And I need to rely upon the grace of God that is available to me. So he said in verse 4, he says, listen, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, your personal things, in this temple lie in ruins? I even think about sometimes, I think it's very important, by the way, that we build ourselves in the Lord. Amen? That we don't just rely on the minister or somebody else. But that we are personally building ourselves on a daily basis. Amen. Through reading the Word of God, through meditating in that, thinking on, speaking on, and also by prayer and communication, praise. Amen. How many know that praise is not just reserved for Sunday mornings? Praise should be a daily walk. Amen. Whatever you're doing, you should be creating an atmosphere of heaven, amen, in that workplace or wherever you find yourself. Amen. You don't have to wait till, well, I can't wait to get back to church while I have an atmosphere of heaven. How about creating one right in your own heart right now by giving God praise and glory, amen? Hallelujah. And praise through. Praise through. Hallelujah. That depression tries to get on you, praise it off yourself. What's God's will? God's will is to build His church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. He wants His body to be healthy. He wants His body to be strong. And it takes a team effort, guys. It's more than what I can do. We need every one of you to really consider your ways Consider what you're doing, what you're spending yourself on, and I'm preaching to myself today, is there something that I need to cut out, something that might be choking me in my own life? Amen? Something that may be replacing God as being the priority of my life. You know, even families, guys, God gives us families. Amen? God gives us loved ones. Thank God, I love my family. I love my wife and my daughter. Amen? I love my dogs. But I can't love them more than Jesus. And I can't put them before Jesus. Well, we'd be with you today except that so-and-so shows up. Well, in some cases, like Thursday night, I canceled discipleship. Right? Ed found out the hard way. You're the only one I didn't warn because you hadn't been to it yet. But because my sister was here from England and she was visiting for like a couple hours before she went on some cruise to Alaska. So it's like that was the only time I had. I wanted to be with her. And God gave me the green light. He said, okay. You know, that's okay. Come on, we're not being legalistic about this. But what I am saying is, where is my heart at? Is my heart desire, amen, to be with the people of God and to be in a place where I can make a difference in somebody else's life? How many know we're supposed to be practicing the faith? We better be practicing this, amen. We're not just going to be hearing about it. It's like somebody goes to school. Let's say you're going to a police academy or something. Somebody's going to be a police officer. And so they're constantly, and they get all the information. They may have even got an A+ in their test. They aced the test. Amen? But then they get out on the beat and they don't have a clue how to apply anything. Why? Because they haven't had any practice. Amen? You get a rookie out on the beat and he's kind of like, well, what do I do? Well, I got my one bullet. Barney? So you know where I was going with that, but yeah. But what has to happen is I need to get the information, amen, and I need to apply it. I need to work it. I need to practice it. I need to say, okay, God says lay hands on the sick. Well, God, I wish you would heal the sick. He says, no, you lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I'll work through you. If you don't do that, you don't start practicing that. I know some people, they prayed, Sid Roth prayed like 300 something times for people. He said nobody got healed, and all of a sudden, boom, people started getting healed. He just started doing the work. He started applying, amen, what he knew God wanted him to do. And he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He just kept pressing in. It's the same thing about praying for spiritual gifts. Keep on pressing in. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. And then, amen, step out of your comfort zone. Get out of the boat. If Jesus is on the water, step out and say, okay, Lord, keep me with you close, all right? I don't want to miss you here. Amen. Guide my conversation. Help me to give me the oracles. Give me the ability to speak the very oracles of God, the truth of God. And so as we do that, God begins to hone that gift because now he sees, I got somebody here that's an applier of my word. They're not a hearer only, they're a doer. And you know, because you've been faithful in doing a little, I'm going to increase the measure of your effectiveness, of your anointing, because I have somebody that I can trust. I'm not pouring out my grace in vain, but I've got somebody that's saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, where can I get started? How can I? What can we do together today? Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, that's kind of scary. Well, get filled with Jesus and you won't be scared. You won't be afraid. Come on, he's our boldness. He's our confidence. He's our strength. He's the one that enables us. Woo. You put on the armor of God, it's like, man, you just feel so confident. But when I'm not armored up, boy, I feel kind of like, I don't know. How many been where I'm at? Yeah. Been there before? Feel a little intimidated by everything going on in your world? Well, you get filled with the Holy Spirit and your cup is overflowing and the armor of God's on you, man, you become another person. You become a supernatural individual because the Spirit of God is resting upon you. And God wants to demonstrate that He is risen from the dead. Amen. That Jesus is Lord. And He wants to destroy the works of the devil. And He wants to use you. He wants to use me. But He looks for somebody that's going to be saying, Lord, I want to prioritize your mission, what you're doing. I want to get involved with what you're doing. I don't want to just attend church. I want to be a part of the church. I want to be a worker in the church. I want to be a partner with you and with your people in the mission. Guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody up here with this today. I understand something. The devil wants to distract. And I've been distracted, and I can get distracted. But we've got to keep each other accountable. We've got to have, amen, a prayer life where we're interceding and praying for one another. And when God moves upon you, to reach out to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? I can't do it all. I need you to help me out. Can you say amen? We got to do this thing together. If we pull together, man, there's no stopping. But we all need to understand that we're part of this. You are important. You have something valuable that God has invested that is necessary, amen, for the health and the life of His church, which is His representation here in the earth. God can't use Lone Rangers that well. They may have some fruit here and there, but God doesn't call us, amen, to be individual. He calls us to a body. To be an individual, but part of something bigger than ourselves. It's not all about who gets to have the biggest piece of pie. It's not all about who gets to be chief. Who's on the top of the pile? How many know that sometimes those who are first will become last? And sometimes those who are last will become first. Because God's looking at the heart. And if anybody has any charisma, it's because God gave it to you. You didn't give it to yourself. You got personality. Maybe you got the gift of gab. You didn't give it to yourself. God gave it to you. So you can use it for His glory. Amen? The gift of gab, right? Yeah. I think I heard that from Annie the first time. I thought it was pretty good. As long as it's an anointed gab, we're okay. Yeah. All right. God's will is to do what? Build His people. That's what the Lord told me years ago. And I'm revisiting this, guys, because I think every one of us need to understand that we need each other. And if you don't think that, you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking right. Guys, we need to pull together. Especially as you see the day approaching. We are not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Amen. As is the manner of some. But as soon as we can and whenever we can, and I know things come up, but let's do what we can. All right? To discipline ourselves, even to sacrifice of myself so that I can be in a place to benefit and help and encourage the body of Christ. When we come together and there's a few, God is with us, we're blessed, and God will reward those who had been faithful. Even if they felt like, I don't really want to be here, but I know God wants me here. And once you come, you're glad you did. But when everybody decides to obey the Lord and say, I know there's other things I can do. There's my favorite TV show I could be watching tonight. And you say, come on, that what is that going to do for anybody in eternity? Come on, it's just a distraction. Absolutely. And you say, let's all come. Let's all gather. When do we get together? Tonight at 6 o'clock. How about Wednesday night? Amen. We have discipleship. 7 o'clock for those, especially we want to focus on the new believers then. We have prayer meetings on Friday night, amen, at 6:30. We need people that will say, I know I can be doing a lot of other things tonight, but what is important right now and what is the priority and what is the mission is that we come together as a royal priesthood and we petition our Father and we call heaven down, amen, in our nation, in our city, in our families, amen, because the people that come are being rewarded by God in eternity, even though they could have done something else. They decided, I'm going to commit myself to what God says is a priority and not what I think is a good idea. We're living in rebellious times. People will do what they want to do anyways. People will rebel against what I'm saying. They will agree in their heart that this is not good counsel. I don't agree with that. And it's because of this and it's because of that that I don't agree with this. You understand? We can come up with a reason and we can even make a doctrine to support our besetting sins. You know, Paul said, get rid of the weights. Get rid of the things that may not be sinful in themselves, but if it's bogging you down, if it's hindering you in running this race, amen, and completing the mission of God for your life, get rid of it. It's not worth it. I look in the mirror and I'm saying, man, what happened? But you know, we get old fast, don't we? We start looking and say, man, there's more wrinkles and shingles coming off the roof. But time is flying, isn't it? Guys, what are we doing? What are we doing with our time? What is our priority? We've got families, we've got jobs, and we've got things that we got to do. I get that. But is God really the first place? Is God's mission really the priority of my life? As like the people in Haggai's day, are we all running off to do our own business, our own paneled houses? And yeah, we see the temple of God lying, and we see things are kind of dwindling, and things are not like they used to be. But I just feel like right now a priority is to take care of my own business first. Do you understand? God says, I will make sure you have the energy, that you have the time, that you'll have the provision. If you will put my mission first, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God above everything else, then all the things that you need, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. I can put you in the first place in the line for a job, amen. I can provide, amen, a house, where, even in a shortage of housing, because you had put my mission above everything else. And that's what God was saying. He says, you guys are putting money into bags with holes in them. It's like, and what you eat, you're not satisfied by. And you're drinking, but you're not satisfied. You're not filled. Why? Because you have spent yourself on your own things, and you have neglected the most important thing, and that is the will of God. Am I speaking the truth today? Matthew 16, 18, and Jesus said, you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. How many know he's not talking about Peter himself? But that word rock is Petra, right? He says, you are Petros, you're a little stone. But upon this Petra, this large stone, I'm going to build my church. What was the large stone? The confession that Jesus is the Christ. He's the foundation, amen? He's the center of it all. He's the one that brings it all together. And you and I are lively stones that make up his body. Amen. And so the body needs to be connected. Amen. So that every part of it fits perfectly into its place of functionality. So that the whole temple of God, the people of God, are edified. Because I'm not just in it for me, but I'm in it for others. Guys, I'm going to tell you something, but I'm not saying this because I'm in any way self-righteous. I know where my righteousness comes from. It's from Jesus. Amen. But I've always tried to make a practice of this because I know what God wants. That even when I wasn't pastoring, I would get into some local church somewhere. Amen. I'd look for the hottest church on the block. Amen. One that had the fire of God. Amen. The Spirit of God was moving. And I'd look for a place to get involved. Where can I help? Amen. I'll sweep the floor. I'll sing on the praise team. I'll play guitar. You need somebody to teach a class. I'll teach a class. You need some help with VBS. I'll help with VBS. Okay, we're having a potluck. You need some people to clean up. I'll clean up. Praise God. What can I do, Lord, to make a difference? How can I help? Where can I serve? Oh, I can greet at the door. I can take the offering. Amen. Whatever. God will give you godly ideas. He will create in you. Amen. A desire for something that you might have never even thought of. And all of a sudden God says, I want you to do something unique. I want you to create or start a ministry. Salvation, healing, deliverance, sanctification, holiness, worship gatherings, Bible studies, fellowship meetings, evangelism, everything we do should be for the purpose of the corporate habitation of God, which is His church. Everything, amen, is for God and for His people. Come on. It's more than a corporation, a business, a social gathering, Friday night bingo club. Come on. Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood. for the sins of the world, rose again on the third day, and called his disciples together, and he commissioned them. Guys, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he says, I'm telling you, I want you to go now in my name. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to teach them to observe everything I've taught you. That means we're supposed to do what Jesus did, as Jesus modeled to his disciples what to do. And then he says, now I want you to go, as Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 also says, find men that are faithful. Invest these things in, amen, that they also will go and produce fruit. God wants every one of us to partner with him in his mission. It's time for us to serve, amen. And we're not going to serve as long as we're self-service people. God's eye is on his church. God is coming. Jesus is coming for his church. He's coming for his church. And he's coming for a bride. He's coming for a prepared people. He's coming for a people that are looking for him. And I said it before, but who are those who are looking for him? Those who are living for him. Those who have denied themselves in this world so that they may join Jesus in his mission. Amen. They have not put their roots down too deep into this world. They are a pilgrim people. They are passing through. They know here there's no continuing city, but they look for one to come. Romans 12:4 says, we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Take a look around in this room today. That is your family. That is your brother and your sister. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom. Amen. We all came the same way, broken, busted, disgusted, through the cross. Amen. Either you're up and out or you're down and out. Either way, you got to come the same way. Amen. And that is through repentance and say, Lord, please help me. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. And he forgives. He reconciles. He gives you his Holy Spirit, and he calls you and he raises you up. He puts his Spirit, amen, upon us, hallelujah. And we represent him in this world. And every one of us has been given a responsibility and a task. If we would join together and we would look to edify, to build up, to encourage one another in the faith, how about let's come together as much as we can. Guys, I say this and I get a lot of yeses and amens, but God wants us to start committing ourselves and actually being doers of the word. And that means that there's times, guys, when I struggle in myself because I know the enemy is trying to distract me. The enemy's trying to get me off course again. He's trying to even bait me sometimes with good things that are not sinful things in and of themselves, but they are distractions. And what they do is they draw me away from what God wants. And I miss out on the eternal. And I compromise it for the temporary. And the devil laughs and he enjoys that. Why? Because he's a thief. He delights in distracting God's people away from their purpose. Because heaven and earth will pass away, my word will never pass away. Jesus said, he who does the will of my Father abides forever. The ones, amen, that are in partnership with Jesus, that are builders together with Jesus, someday, even though at this time, amen, we've had to gird ourselves and we've had to serve others, we've had to give up ourselves and some of our comfort and some of our time, amen, to do what God has called us to do. But the day will come when Jesus said, I'll have you sit down at my table for those who have been faithful. And I will gird myself and I will serve you. Guys, I'm not talking about some super spiritual pie in the sky thing. I'm talking about the practical life that God calls us to live. Amen. Every day, just being on assignment with Jesus. And when it comes time for us to get together, we need to be saying, Lord, what do you say? It doesn't matter how I feel. It's what do you say? And guys, listen, if my desire is not to be with God's people, I need to check myself and ask what's going on. When you're born again, you're in your first love. And, oh, you're so infatuated with Jesus. You can't get enough of the word. You can't get enough church, amen, and fellowship with people. And what happens to that if we're not careful? It becomes a routine sometimes. Well, punched my clock at the door. I showed up. How about getting fired up, getting prayed up, amen, and come, amen, to be a blessing to somebody else. God's called me to equip. That's my mission, amen? But He's called me to equip you for the work of the ministry, and we need everybody here to join, to partner with us. I want to use one more example. Exodus 19:6, where God says to Israel, "You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." He didn't say you're going to be an individual priest and an individual kingdom, but He says you're going to be a kingdom of priests. That means in order to be a kingdom, we have to be within the kingdom, first of all. Amen? And we need to be together. At the building of the Temple of Solomon. In 1 Kings 6 and 7, it says in the temple, which represents what? Today it represents the body of Christ. The building of God, a habitation of God in the Spirit, was built with stone finished at the quarry. And it says in verse 7, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So it was a quiet work that was taking place. It was done in secret, in a sense. It was out of sight. But it was taking place where? They were actually preparing the blocks off site. Okay? The uncut stones could not be used. They couldn't just take stones from the brook and use them, amen? Because they would not fit together and they would not hold together. They had to be cut to a specific shape, so they would fit together perfectly. In other words, God's saying, natural stones, no good for my building. They have to be prepared stones. They have to be stones that I have given the specifications, amen, to build, so that when they are brought together, they're going to fit. And they're going to be effective, and it's going to create strength for the building of God. So that's why sheep and goats don't get along very good. Amen? If we are the people of God, and we're the calling of the Lord, we're the ones that He's called out, the ecclesia, the church. Amen? He's got a place for you. He's got a mission for you. Amen? And the part of what He's doing in this world. Not everybody's called to church ministry within a body. I'm talking about within this church itself. God calls us to marketplace. God calls us to wherever we find ourselves, we carry His glory. Amen? And so we need to be on assignment for God. But when God says, we're gathering together, I want my people to gather. For whenever two or three gather in my name. Uh-huh. So what is Jesus? Jesus wants us to get together. I say this often, guys, but listen. Those who are consistent and staying connected to the body of Christ, even the local church, always do better. The enemy wants to convince people that they are a lone ranger and they don't need, it's just you and Jesus, you don't really need to be that connected, that committed, that involved. Just kind of show up once in a while, show your face and say, yeah, see, I did good. I get a gold star for attendance. Everything we do is supposed to be unto the Lord. It's supposed to be for the glory of God. It's supposed to be for Jesus, amen, that we get together. And when we're getting together for Jesus, then we're getting together to love one another, to help one another, to edify one another. Yeah. Guys, we all have different lives and different responsibilities. Now, I'm not your judge, amen. The Lord is the judge. But the Lord knows what we've been called to do, what we're capable of doing, and He knows whether we're being good stewards of that or not. Amen? And I believe that many of us could be more committed than we are. And I realize some people are probably angry at me right now. I don't know if I looked at you, I'm not thinking about you right now, but you might be angry at me because I'm telling you something. But if you ask the Lord the same question, and deep down inside you know that what I'm saying is true, and I'm telling you this because I'm responsible to tell you what God is saying, and God wants His family to be together. He wants His people to work together, amen, to walk together, to love one another, to be there for one another, amen, and don't leave any man behind, as the Marines say. And I'm looking at the possibility of maybe cutting one thing out this week. I have very busy weeks, as you know, some of you know. I believe it or not, I don't just work one day a week. But I want to have more time to visit people and to reconnect and reestablish relationship. Relationships are so important. That's guys, why we have Glory Barn. That's why we have CWOW. That's why we have discipleship and fellowship meetings. It's because we're getting to know each other below the surface. Amen? So we can understand how we can benefit and minister to one another even. God wants us to be acquainted. And I'm going to finish with this. It's not God's design for one to just have personal faith in Christ. God wants each member joined together in His body. It's not enough just to have personal faith in Jesus. God wants each member joined together in His body. I'm going to say it again. Did you get it the first time? It's not God's design for one to just have personal faith in Christ. God wants each member joined together in His body. He wants us to be together. I'm encouraged when I see people come, and I'm so happy you're here today. I'm so glad that you decided to come today because you blessed me. I love you guys. I really do. And I want what's best for you because that's what Jesus wants. And He knows that if we're not careful, the enemy's going to deceive. He's going to seduce us away from God, from the mission, the will, the purpose of God for our lives. And He's going to end up having you and I spend ourselves needlessly on foolish things and temporal things that will amount to zero in eternity. Guys, let me just say this. The devil is more involved than often people believe. I'm not here to exalt the devil. I'm just saying that he is very subtle. And he's very hard at work to try to work on each one of us to seduce us away from the things of God and into the things of this world. And if we continue to eat from the polluted food, and the polluted springs of this world and the pools of this world, then what's going to happen is we're going to have a false sense of satisfaction by the things of this world, and we're not going to realize that we're starving to death spiritually, and we can be dying and not even aware of it. And that's what happens, and all of a sudden people break off from the vine. They're like that branch that didn't continue. They didn't abide, and they got weak, and then they fell off. And where are they today? Well, because of self-confidence, I don't need to be that connected. I don't need to be that committed. I don't need to be that involved. I don't need to pray like I used to because I'm pretty strong. Self-confidence is a slippery slope, amen, to destruction. And so we need to realize that we need God. And so what we need to do, and I'm going to finish with this, I said that already. But we need to develop an appetite for what really matters. We need to start feeding ourselves, amen, the things of God, the Word of God, amen, the fellowship of the saints. We need to feed ourselves in His Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? His presence, hallelujah, so that we have an appetite for the things of God. And that's what we're hungry for now. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you start tasting and seeing how good He is, you want more of Him, hallelujah. Hey, there's an altar call. Count me in. I'm on my way.
Amen.
Oh no, I'm good. Let's go get that prime rib, Martha. Man, we're having prime rib here in the presence of God. Are you kidding? He sets before us a banquet, a table. He serves the best. He delights the soul. He rejoices us. Hallelujah. God is the one that refreshes us. Find your delight in Him. He'll give you the desire of your heart even. He'll take care of those things. Amen? But seek Him first. Put Him first. Commit yourself. Guys, I've been here going on 10 years at this church. You believe that? I think November is going to be 10 years. Seems like it was just the other day. And I watched things. And you have too. You've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a lot of people. A lot of people come and go. And sometimes my heart rejoices and sometimes my heart grieves. Because I've also watched people become shipwrecked in their faith. And sometimes the people that you never expect, things happen. Now, God's got His hand on people, and God can bring people back. Amen? God can complete what He begins in somebody's life. But you know, the Lord grieves. He grieves over His children. When He watches His children following after other gods, other priorities, other things are more important. My pleasure is more important than the kingdom of God. My comfort is more important than the kingdom of God. My sports or my television show is more important than the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? My money is more important than the kingdom of God. All these things. I think one of the greatest tests we can have is prosperity. When we're doing good and when we're prosperous, can be a real challenge to not allow those things to fill the voids, amen, that only God can fill and begin to choke the life out of us. I'm asking for your commitment. I don't want to tread water. I want us to move forward. I don't want us just to do events. I want us to be a living organism energized by the Spirit of the Lord that's moving, amen, and making difference in our community, in our homes, in our own lives, as we work together, walk together, commit together. God wants His people to be awake. And so it requires personal discipline. It requires discipline on our part. We've got to be committed. We've got to say, the kingdom is my priority. And I thank You for those who are doing just that. You are committed. You are kingdom people. That is your mission. That is your goal. Sometimes that is our heart. And I believe you're here today and you're saying, that is my heart. But I'm not really quite sure where or how I can be involved with that. Let me just tell you this, that God will show you if you seek Him. What we have noticed is that if we can just get people on fire for Jesus, all of a sudden they'll start wanting to do certain things because God starts working in them both the will and the do. And they say, hey, you know, I really feel like God wants me to serve in this area, or maybe a ministry to the homeless or whatever, you know, a street feed on Friday night, whatever it might be. But God will stir up in your heart a desire that is a God-given desire, because you are connected to Him, amen, who is the source of all life. And He will quicken or energize you by His Spirit and enable you not only to dream, but to actually perform it, to do it. To be a doer of the word. So if we think we don't really need God that much, well, we're deceiving ourselves, because what we're called to do is bigger than we are. It's beyond what we can do. And we need God's power. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need God's power in our lives. We'll find that out when the enemy comes in like a flood to shake your world, and you say, oh God, I'm coming home. What am I doing here?